statute can require a fair market value, because I don't know how to determine it. Fair market value normally is done through an appraisal process, and you can't, there's no comparable. Westville, for example, who I'm informed gets $500,000 per acre foot for their water, and that they buy from equipment and they ship out through bottles. The Sparkless people, by the time they've turned that bottle around, it's gotten in excess of $500,000 per acre foot. What is fair market value for water? Depends on where it's used, not where it's appropriated, and then you have a real difficult time dealing with it. I'm still working on it, but I haven't found an answer.
Right, and I understand, understand the problem with that, but any help you can provide in trying to get to some sort of policy there that doesn't, you know, limit your ability to charge you for not representative.
Yeah, and if we're going to be talking policies in general, I'm going to be very interested in the discharge aspects that we were talking about for those in-state users, especially if we're going to be exempting fish hatcheries. It was some time ago that I asked this question in a resource committee hearing, and the question was, because industries in my neck of the woods were being required by federal and state laws to spend millions and millions of dollars on water treatment facilities. And the question I asked was, gee, with all these fish hatcheries sitting out there and the little fish poop in the water, you know, and we feed them all kinds of interesting little antibiotics and other stuff. I mean, some of the most deadly chemicals in the world go into the water in a fish hatchery for the beneficent purpose of raising a fish, a healthy one. And you know, we don't have a single filter or settling pond on any one of these damned hatcheries. So I asked the Department of Fish and Game to go out and red tag along with DEC and shut down every one of their hatcheries until they put in the same kind of settling ponds and water clarifiers that we are requiring of every industry in this state. Every placer miner out there has to have his settling pond, but gee, isn't that funny? None of these hatcheries do. 3 days later, emergency exemption granted to hatcheries. I'm not even going to be interested in looking at something like this until that emergency exemption for hatcheries gets peeled off and we start spending millions and millions of dollars to clean up all of that fish poopy water that's flowing into those pristine streams that so many people around here seem to be very concerned about on one hand, when it involves industry and somebody making a living for their family, but aren't at all concerned about what it has to do with something like a sacred cow like the fishing industry.
Mr.
I
think, Chairman.
I don't think an answer is prepared with that. I think Representative Taylor does make a good point. I'm really concerned about these hatcheries too.
That was a previous bill, wasn't it, the salmon giveaway?
I do think we ought to check the waterfall. any other questions?
One of the things I would point out is it's very interesting. The people that are interested in particular large water exports and also in bottled water are not interested in water bodies that have fish in them. They want what they call sterile water because it's much more healthy.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a general statement in the question column that I realize the intention of this legislation, but again, my constituents have certainly, they all have reservations of certain secret public policy to consider them. and their fear, and I feel much comfortable after your presentation, but I want to put on the record the concern that they have, which may restrict additional or put additional expenses or cost added to hinder economic development activities for all Alaska. Some of their activities that they were concerned of were one, place reminding, I know it's addressed in here, it's on the list. Number two, hydroelectric projects. Three, in the hatcheries. My colleague from Ketchikan has mentioned. And some of my constituents have made contact with some of your department folks and may have marshaled correspondence back and forth, but we're told that some of these concerns that our folks have will be addressed in the, or be given consideration in the regulatory process. But I'm sorry for the distress as far as regulations are concerned when they're whenever they're developed. My constituents feel that they're out of luck. I mean, them to be involved. Their request, and will this be considered? Could we not include them in the statutes or legislation rather than regulation?
Mr. Chairman, a couple of points, and this has been brought to directly to me by Representative Lincoln. We have amended our notice process to ensure that 40-plus small rural communities are now noticed on any water activities. And one of the things that I've said up front is we will have scoping hearings. And that really is, let's all sit down and talk about what we're going to do with water fees. I've been reluctant to get involved in hypothetical lists because I don't want to imply a prejudgment of that process. I've also committed to have formal public hearings on the draft regulations. So I've made a commitment to have a broad public process and to ensure that rural communities are properly noticed and are involved in that process. With respect to a couple of specific industries, I think you'll find in the fish processing industry, and I was surprised at this, frankly, the fees that the larger fish processing industries would pay would be nominal, generally less than $1,000 a year. The hatcheries are exempt by definition, in our opinion, because they're basically nonprofits and state agencies, or operated by a state agency. Particularly the smaller hydro that feeds small communities at a 25 per acre foot, would be a nominal fee. A lot of those hydros are nonprofits and are also operated by the state or federal government. In our opinion, the federal government should pay. There was one other, I'm sorry, Representative, in one other industry that you're concerned with. The thing that I've tried to do in the schedule that I've handed out and in the discussion by industry is I picked, and it's been done with some thought, industries that we thought reflected sort of the norm to give you an idea of what the real economic impact would be on that industry. And I've been convinced in doing this, and we've spent a lot of time on it, that these will not cause any significant economic harm to these industries, but they will begin to participate in paying for what they receive is ongoing water resource management, resource information that they come to us for all the time. I think it's a reasonable and non-harmful fee.
Okay, just for the committee, we've got about 8 minutes left. I hope to get a little ways through the public testimony. If anyone's got any quick questions left, we could ask them. Anyone have any quick questions left?
I had expressed it earlier, and I appreciate you bringing the map and showing the general vicinity, but I think before I'm even comfortable entertaining the concept, it's kind of like, when we give birth to a baby, what we see is what we get, and I would rather not have it that way, to have the reverse process and see beforehand what we're going to be getting. And I'm asking if you have a way of narrowing down the point of securing the water so that it is in a non-competitive area with the fishermen and with timber use and with scenic and recreational values, so that in those areas you described, we can actually pinpoint where, if we were to enable this kind of a concept, that water would depart and leave the state and go south, so that before we pass something like this, we know exactly what we're looking at. We have a damage assessment already in hand. And we understand what we're going to get at the time that we pass. Are you working on that, or do you have all of that available?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the answer is that is addressed in the appropriation process. When we have an application of like Snettersham and Yorkshire Lake, they go through a formal adjudication that requires, if there's an objection, in every case of these, there will be.
Is the answer no, then? It won't be before we pass this? It'll come after we pass this?
Yeah, I think that's the answer.
Regulation.
The answer is we'll get that done as we get the applications.
Just a brief note. Before we start talking about what we're going to do with the money as far as getting money in here for South Water and then how we're going to apply it to other communities to provide water and sewer programs and so on. And, no umbrage to my dear friend up north, but I've seen those communities up north when they came to sell an oil, they wanted first tap on being able to tax it. If there's one thing we've got in Southeast Alaska, it's a lot of rainwater. The only reason anybody's here to look at us. And as a consequence, we're going to want first tap on anybody taking water out of here as a community, because it's going to, quote, impact us. And I'm sure I can find some long-haired rascal around here that wants to join me in that one. Not about how the impact is going to occur to my community, and I'm going to have to have social implications and hire more school teachers and worry about all kinds of more take a real hard look at this legislation as far as allowing local taxation on those revenues being derived by the state of Alaska, just like we did up north on the oil.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Davis. Appreciate your joining. I'd like to hear quickly from our legislative attorney, Terry Luckoff, here if he could join us. I'm going to try to make this very abbreviated. Terry, to go back to the comments from Rob Nauheim, from the Attorney General's office, he covered a number of areas. Was there any areas with what he said that you disagree with?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Jerry Luckoff. I'm legislative counsel for the Bureau of Legal Services Division. I was asked to look at water law, and I'm originally from Wyoming, and used to work for the Wyoming AG's office and have some connections with water law work down there, when I worked down there. I had a couple comments that basically concerns that this committee may want to look at and be concerned about. One involves Mr. Nohan's comments about that most states since the Sporius decision have repealed or stopped trying to limit the export of water from their borders. I think exactly the opposite has occurred. Most states are still trying to limit the export of water from their borders, but they've been restricted in the way they can do that under Sporhays. The U.S. Supreme Court struck down and looked at one particular provision of this export law that Nebraska had that required the reciprocity, required another state to agree to export water to that state before you can take water out of the receiving state. Most states have gone ahead and looked at those three. There were three other factors in the Nebraska law that the U.S. Supreme Court said were probably proper. There have been two cases, more or less, that have looked at export provisions since this time, and they involved the city of El Paso, Texas, which is on the border between Texas and New Mexico. And they are downstream. The only way they can get any water in El Paso is from New Mexico. New Mexico had a blanket prohibition against the export of water from its borders. The city of El Paso sued New Mexico and initially won a summary judgment decision from a U.S. district court down there saying that that blanket prohibition was illegal. New Mexico went in and amended their law and removed that blanket prohibition on the export of water, but put in provisions requiring the state engineer who adjudicated water disputes down there, requiring the state engineer to look at the effects that taking the water out of the state would have both in-state and the reasons why the water is going to be used in the other state, and require a beneficial use, and also require that it's within the public interest of the state of New Mexico for this water to leave. The U.S. District Court in that case lifted the summary judgment that they granted the city of El Paso in that case and ruled for the state of New Mexico and said that was a proper restriction on the export of water. Most states are kind of leery about this whole area, but the only decision we've had basically since Sporhays has been in favor of a state being able to limit the export of its water. Now, charging fees only for the people that are exporting it may or may not work. And I'm fairly willing to agree with Mr. Nohan, is that right?
Nohan.
That it looks fairly unlikely that if we were only going to charge the people taking the water out of state, that we would win that. There still is the possibility that we could. Other states, and I talked to people that I used to work with in the Wyoming Attorney General's office just last night and the Colorado AG's office this morning, sort of look at another provision out of the Sporhays decision that's very important to this committee is, in Sporhays, the U.S. Supreme Court said that the fact that the state of Nebraska and all western states, we all claim to own the water situated within our state, whether it's groundwater or surface water. The U.S. Supreme Court said that was a legal fiction and that basically discounted the fact that a state can own its water. And it looks at the idea of the parents patriae, even though they didn't use that term, but something similar to what we use in social services cases where the parents' patriotic doctrine, and we're the father of all the children out there in our state. And if there's problems, there are children in need of supervision, TINS, and we offer that supervision, we're their parent. And we're also the owners of this water, somewhat a similar way to look at it. It's very unsure that any state owns their water right now after Spoorhaze, if any state can actually sell its water. Charging fees for development projects and distribution projects and storage projects are the way states down south charge fees for the most part. For the most part, they aren't charging for the water itself, but they're charging for the dams that they built. They're charging for the aqueducts and the dikes and the weirs that have all been constructed, and charging for those. And then the Bureau of Reclamation of the U.S. government has done a lot of that work, and they charge fees too, depending upon your use. And there are graduated fee systems, where if you use more water, you pay more. And that's the idea, is to limit the water that's used. But there's a real question right now if we can even sell our water.
Yeah, Jerry, I think this brings up a number of questions that we need to ask, and we're out of time. So I think what we're going to do is try to see if we can get you to come back on Tuesday. I can think of a whole bunch of things, but you're bringing up really interesting points, and I appreciate your taking the time to join us. Let me ask people in the audience, is there anyone here today who can't testify a week from today, next Tuesday, who wants to testify? Do you want to join us then? Thank you very much, Jerry. Dick, you're welcome to join us. If you can make your comments as brief as you can so we can get out of here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dick Bishop. I'm representing the Alaska Outdoor Council, and I really came today as much to learn as to voice an opinion. The Alaska Outdoor Council does have a great deal of interest in water and water uses, and I came mainly to learn about the relationship between provisions to sell water and allocate water and water for the purposes of maintaining fish and wildlife and their habitats. And at this time, we do not have a position on this bill. And I think I will go away with as many questions as I came with, perhaps more, and not in a position where I can make the recommendation on what position we should take. I guess I would simply say that we'd be concerned about any of the details of a system of particularly of exporting or transporting water, be it export or otherwise, in relation to the well-being of habitats and so on, with regard to potential introduction or export of exotic organisms and so on that may or may not be harmful to the area from which water is taken and things like that that I haven't heard discussed so far. And the other thing is that in the past, the Outdoor Council has supported strongly an in-stream flow concept, and I testified to the House Resources Committee recently that we do support that concept, although with the present bill, we're not willing to support that because basically, it doesn't set a standard with respect to the level of appropriation, is that the right word, of water, or reservation in that case, that's appropriate, and so we'd like to see that cleaned up. And I think that's really about all my comments. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. We don't have any time for questions. Thank you, Dick. Appreciate everyone's coming. There's no one else who can't testify on Tuesday. Okay, then we'll continue the public hearing on Tuesday. Committee members, please bring any amendments you have. Also, I'd like to remind committee members, on that same Tuesday, we're here at the Nonprofit Corporation Code Revision. It's going to be at least an hour and a half, probably. If you're interested in it, please join us. If you're not interested, you don't have to join us, but we're not going to go through it all again when we finally do vote on it again. You're sort of leaving your trust with the rest of us who do sit through it to carry it. And I just want to do it once, I guess, in that kind of. So you don't have to come, but... If you don't come, don't.
It's a major revision, though. It's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah. Being here.